Good morning. It is good to see you this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, open up with me again to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3. While you are finding your place there, let me just say thank you. Man, I love to sing with you on Sunday mornings. It is a joy, a privilege. I look forward to it every week. And the music was so good today, it even got a mic drop from Jimbo. So it was just too good of an opportunity. Couldn't pass that up. So, but no, in all seriousness, I love to worship with you. And thank you to our choir, our instrumentalists. You know, there's something about when the saints sing praise and honor to God that just stirs our hearts. And it's just a joy to do that each week. Thank you for singing with gusto and with energy. It's a joy to worship with you. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 will be our text today. We have been walking through the Gospel of Matthew now since December. And continuing our study of this book together and looking at the life and the teaching and the ministry of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, follow along with me if you would as I pick up in verse 13. Matthew writes here under the inspiration of the Spirit, and he says this, that then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Would you pray with me this morning? And we'll look at God's Word together. Father, I thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for its clarity. Thank you, Father, for the truth that you speak to us through it. And Lord, today I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture, you would do two things, Father. Number one, that you would show us who Christ is. And then, Father, secondly, would you remind us who we are in Christ, Lord, particularly as we look at the topic of baptism. Lord, we desire today not just to hear a sermon. We desire, God, to be changed and transformed by your Word. So, Father, would you do that, and may we be compliant. And I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 3, as we take a look at this passage of Scripture and the baptism of Jesus, every time I read this passage or others about baptism, I'm reminded of a story. Stories about a young boy who went to church, and he went to church and heard the pastor preach a sermon on the Great Commission. So the pastor's words were, go, make disciples, and baptize in the name of Jesus. And so the boy was convicted by that, and he took it to heart and decided he was going to do whatever he could to fulfill the Great Commission. So he went home and said, hey, I'm going to share this with my family. So he shared with his family, but he came to realize, well, all of his family were already Christians and they'd already been baptized. So he thought, well, who else can I share the gospel with? So he rounded up the family cats, and he gathered them together in the room, and he began to share the gospel with these cats. And so naturally, as he shared the gospel with them, he thought, well, the next step is they got to be baptized. So he proceeds one by one. He starts with a little kitten, and he takes the little kitten who's unsuspecting and plunges it and dunks it under the water. The cat doesn't even know what's going on. Then he grabs the mama cat, and she was not quite as submissive, but she struggled a little bit, but he finally got her under the water and pulled her back up. Then he went for the old tomcat. And as he grabs this cat, it starts to bite and claw and scratch and scream and holler. And he's trying to get it under the water, and the cat's just not having it. So finally, the boy says, fine, be a Methodist if you want to, and goes on. Well, that joke, of course, is at the expense of our Methodist brothers and sisters, which we love. At the same time, baptism is something that is often debated and is often discussed, isn't it? You know, we like to joke about it and pick because we'd seem to do it a little differently than the next group or the next group. And it's something that we, maybe you haven't really thought about real seriously. Maybe it's more of a punchline and a joke. But today I want us to take a look at it, a serious look of what baptism is. Why are we baptized? Why should we be baptized? How should we be baptized? And today we're going to answer some of those questions by looking at this passage of Scripture about the baptism of Jesus. Let me just say this as a caveat before we dive in today. My goal, I'm going to give you a lot of information today, but I'm also going to give you a lot of Scripture references. My goal is not for you to hear mine or any other human authority's opinion or idea of what baptism is. I want us to hear what God says about baptism. Amen? The word above the world. What does he have to say about baptism? And so with that in mind, we look at the example of the baptism of Jesus here in Matthew 3. But before we dive into the verses of today, we need to remember where we are contextually. So Matthew is writing to us the story of Jesus. And remember, the theme of Matthew is trying to show us who Jesus is. Jesus is the king, and we're called to build his kingdom. That's the theme of Matthew. So far, we've looked at the birth of Jesus, his early childhood years. And then last week, we jumped ahead in Matthew 3. Matthew jumps ahead about 30 years or so to the adulthood of Jesus. And before Jesus begins his public ministry, if you remember, there was a man by the name of John. John went out into the wilderness, and he was preaching this message of repentance. John the Baptist, we call him. And we looked at John's message last week. What was John proclaiming? A simple message that people needed to repent and to turn and get ready for the coming of the Messiah. Well, today what we're going to see is that as John is preaching this message of repentance, and as people are coming to him to be baptized, someone special comes to be baptized. It's the very one that John had been proclaiming. Jesus himself comes to John to be baptized. And if you've read these verses before, you may have wondered, why did Jesus get baptized? We're going to answer that question today. Why was Jesus baptized? But as we answer that question, we need to ask a second question, and that's, why should we be baptized? What's the big deal about baptism? We're going to answer both of these questions today. And as we do and look at these verses, I want you to see today's big idea. Here's the one thing today I want you to walk away with. Look at it with me. Today's big idea is that baptism is a public display of Christ, as Savior and Lord. It's a public display of our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. It's that for Jesus' baptism, it publicly proclaims him as Savior. And for us, as we're baptized, it's a public profession of our faith in Christ. So how do we break this down? We're going to look at it in two ways. First, we're going to answer the question of why was Jesus baptized? And so look with me, first of all, at how Jesus' baptism shows that he is the Christ. Jesus' baptism shows us that he is the Christ. Now, you know how kids are, right? Sometimes if you're around kids and you're doing your thing, and all of a sudden if you do something that's out of the routine or out of the ordinary, what do kids invariably do? Why? Why are you doing that? Why are we going this way instead of that way? Why aren't we doing it this? We naturally have questions when something happens that we don't expect. And here in this passage, Jesus does something we don't expect. He comes to John and is baptized. And so naturally we begin to ask these questions. Why? Why does Jesus go through this process? Is it really necessary? What's he doing here? And here's what I want you to see. We're going to look at a few reasons in just a moment, but let me give you a little reminder before we get into the rest of the outline. If you look at verse 13, it says that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Now, you remember a couple of weeks ago in Matthew chapter 2, when Jesus and his family were fleeing the wrath of Herod, where did they go? They went down to Egypt, right, until Herod died, and then they came back to Israel. But because they didn't want to be anywhere near the capital city, where did Jesus grow up? In Nazareth, in Galilee, in the northern portion of the kingdom of Israel. John is baptizing in the southern portion of the kingdom, down near Jordan, the Jordan River. So Jesus is up here, John is down here, but what does verse 13 say? Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. He had to travel about 60 miles or so to come to John. Here's what that tells me. This was not random. Jesus did not just happen to be in the region, happen to be walking by and look over here and see John baptizing a bunch of people and say, wow, that looks fun. I want to do that too. That's not what happens here. Jesus intentionally comes to John. He intentionally comes for the purpose of being baptized. And again, we say, well, why? Why is this such a big deal? Well, let's begin to answer this question. Jesus' baptism shows us several things about who he is. First of all, it shows us that he is superior, that Jesus is superior. Verse 14 says, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Imagine being John. He's out there, and everybody's coming left and right to be baptized by him, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. And as Jesus comes to John, John can't believe it. He's flabbergasted. Jesus, you're coming to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you. You know, it would be like, imagine that one day I get a knock on my door and Tiger Woods is there at my front door. And he says, hey, Matt, I'm coming to you. I need you to give me some golf lessons. Now, if you've ever played golf with me, you know I have no business giving Tiger Woods golf lessons, right? I need to be taught by him, not the other way around. It is even more extreme here. John's saying, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're greater than me. Do you remember last week what was in John's message to the Pharisees? What did he say about the Messiah? If you look back up, at look at verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. So here's John. And he says, Jesus, you're here. I'm here. I don't need to be baptized by you. I need to be baptized by you rather than you being baptized by me. In this very conversation, even before we get into Jesus' baptism, this very conversation reminds us Jesus is superior. He is the mighty one. He is the worthy one to which John was referring. Jesus' baptism shows us he's superior. But his baptism also shows us that Jesus is sinless, that he's sinless. Again, John looks at Jesus and says, why do I need to baptize you? Remember who was coming to John for baptism. If you go back up a few verses in Matthew 3, all the people are coming. John's out in the wilderness, right? Put his camel skin outfit on, eating his locusts and honey. Everybody's coming to him to be baptized. Why? What was his message? Repent, right? Repent and be baptized, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom's at hand. In other words, turn from your sins, repent of those sins, and get ready for the coming of the Messiah. And so what people were doing is they were confessing their sins and being baptized in anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. Well, here's Jesus. If everybody else is being baptized as they confess their sins, well, what about Jesus? Is Jesus being baptized because he's confessing his sins? Well, of course, we know that can't be the answer, right? Because the scriptures tell us that Jesus had no sin. Let me give you a couple of scriptural proofs here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 tells us that Jesus committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Hebrews 4, likewise, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So here's Jesus. Clearly, Jesus has never sinned. He has no need to repent of anything, no sins to confess. So why is he being baptized? He comes, and even this, again, and not even the baptism, the conversation John has with him shows us not only that Jesus is superior, but Jesus, you're sinless. There's nothing you have to confess. But that still doesn't answer the question of why does Jesus need to be baptized? Well, let me give you one of the answers here. Thirdly, it shows that Jesus is the Savior. Jesus' baptism shows that he is the Savior. Verse 15, but Jesus answered John, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So here's the answer. Why was Jesus baptized? The answer is to fulfill all righteousness. Now, that's a short answer, but it may not make a lot of sense, right? What does that mean, to fulfill all righteousness? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. First of all, it doesn't mean that Jesus had to be baptized to be righteous. We know that, right? He was righteous before he was baptized. He didn't have to be baptized to get some kind of righteousness. Jesus is already righteous. But also, Jesus' baptism doesn't make us righteous, right? We still have to place our faith in Christ before we can be righteous. So what does it mean when it says that Jesus' baptism fulfills all righteousness? Here's what I believe based on the context of this passage. When Jesus is baptized here, he's telling us that this is a picture of him fulfilling all righteousness. It's going to show us in several ways how he is the one who can make us righteous. How does his baptism accomplish this? A few things here in your outline. First of all, it shows Jesus submitting to the Father. So here's Jesus. He's not sinful. He's not done anything wrong. He's come. What's his singular purpose for coming into the world? To save us from our sins. And so throughout his ministry, what does he do? He does things that he didn't have to do. Why? To give honor and glory to the Father. He's continually submitting to the will of the Father. And so here he is. He says, John, this is the Father's will, that I need to be baptized. And so Jesus comes and he's baptized. It shows him submitting to the Father. It also shows him as standing in our place. See, here's Jesus. As Jesus is baptized by John, in Jesus' mind, he already knows what's coming. What's coming is he is standing in our place. He's about to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. And so even as he's baptized, he is being baptized anticipating what he's about to do. And what was he about to do? He was about to take our sin upon himself and give us his righteousness. You remember 2 Corinthians 5. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So even his act of baptism shows Jesus is taking our place. But it also shows something else. It shows his sacrifice and his resurrection. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He's not baptized in that Jordan River and having no idea what's coming. No, Jesus knew why he was there. And he knew what was about to happen in the next couple of years, that he was going to be arrested falsely, that he was going to be brutally tortured, that he was going to be crucified to a cross. He knew all these things were coming. He knew he was going to face death, that he would rise from the dead on the third day. You know how we know it? Because Jesus tells us multiple times what's coming. And listen to how he describes what he's about to go through. Listen to how he describes the torture and the crucifixion and the death and the resurrection. Luke 12, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it's accomplished. Jesus isn't saying, I'm not looking forward to being dunked. He's saying, I am distressed because I know what I'm about to go through. The torture and the pain and the crucifixion, all that's coming. But as he's baptized, it's a picture of it. He's about to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. He's about to go through that, and his baptism shows us that. So he knows. He's there intentionally. Why? Because he is getting ready to fulfill all righteousness. He is the Savior who's making a way of salvation for us, and his baptism shows us that. But his baptism shows us a couple of more things about who Jesus is. Fourthly, it shows that Jesus is one with the Spirit. He's one with the Spirit. Verse 16, something amazing happens. It says, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. So in this incredible moment, Jesus comes up from the water, and as he does, the skies part, and the Holy Spirit comes down. Invisible form, in the form of a dove. And this dove rests on Jesus. Now, what is this doing? This is a clear proclamation of who Jesus is. He is one with the Spirit, one with the Godhead. Father, Son, Spirit, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit attests to that and affirms that. And then we also see the Holy Spirit empowering Jesus for what he's about to do. As we're going to see as we look ahead next week in Matthew 4, the very first thing Jesus does in his public ministry is go into the wilderness to be tempted. But who is he led by? The Spirit. As Jesus is baptized, the Spirit comes upon him. He affirms who Jesus is. And he affirms, lastly, that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. As the Spirit comes down, as Jesus comes up out of the water, a voice speaks, and it's the voice of God the Father. Verse 17, behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So in this very moment, the baptism of Jesus highlights who he is. But just in case we don't get the picture, God says, let me tell you, this is my Son. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the one who has been promised. He is the one who can save. And so right here in this moment, we have the Father, the Son, the Spirit all together in this beautiful moment of the baptism of Jesus. And everything about that moment highlights who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the sinless, superior, perfect Savior who's come to make a way of salvation for those of us who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus's baptism wasn't necessary for his sin, but he says it was necessary as a picture of what he was going to do for our sin. His baptism shows who he is. He is the Christ. So that's the answer to the first question. Why was Jesus baptized? To show that he is the Christ. But then that should lead us to a second question. All right, again, we never want to walk through these verses and say, well, that was really interesting, and then go about our lives. Now let's talk about us and our baptism. If Jesus's baptism shows who he is in Christ, then what's the big deal for us? Why do we have a baptistry? Why do we begin our services, heaven help us, every single week, I hope, with baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit? Why the big rigmarole about baptism? Well, here's a second principle. If Jesus' baptism shows who he is in Christ, then our baptism shows who we are in Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Our baptism shows who we are in Christ. How is this accomplished? Let me just really quickly give you a few things. We could talk at length about baptism and what it means and why we do it. Again, my goal today is to give you some scripture. So here's a few things that we need to understand about our baptism. Number one, look at the meaning of baptism. Understand the meaning of baptism. Here's how I describe baptism. My little one-line phrase on what baptism is. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. In other words, what we are doing is we are proclaiming to the world what Jesus has done on the inside. Baptism never saves. The act of being dunked in a tank of water has never saved a soul. Being baptized in the Jordan River never saved a soul. What saves? Faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, right? That's the only way we can be saved. What baptism is us saying, Jesus has changed my life, and I want you to see that. See, baptism, just in case you wondered about its saving properties, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Here's what Peter says. You remember we studied this verse together a few weeks ago. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So don't get confused by the language. The act of baptism doesn't save. It's the appeal of faith to Christ that saves. Baptism is just a picture of that. Peter's saying we're baptized because we've placed our faith in Christ. It's an outward expression of an inward change, an appeal to God through faith. That's the meaning of baptism. But let's talk about why it's important. All right, so I get it. Baptism is a symbol of this. But why do I have to be baptized? Why do you need to be baptized? Why does God make it such a big deal about baptism? Well, look with me now at the magnitude of baptism, its significance, its importance. There's a few reasons we need to be baptized. Number one, because Jesus modeled it. We just studied it. Matthew 3, what does Jesus do? He comes as the sinless Savior and is baptized. And let me tell you, if Jesus had no sin and went through baptism, how much more do I need baptism as a sinner under a holy God? Jesus models baptism for us. But not only does he do it, Jesus also commanded us to be baptized. Do you remember Jesus' last words while he was on the earth? Before he ascends back up to be with the Father, before he goes back into glory, he meets with his disciples there on the mountain, and he gives us what we call the Great Commission. And what does he say? Go make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Jesus tells us that we need to be baptized and that we need to baptize other people. And I'm just here to tell you, if that's the last thing Jesus told us, guess what? We ought to probably do it, right? Be baptized because Jesus did it and because he tells us to. But here's another reason we need to be baptized. Because Jesus is glorified through it. Whenever a person comes to faith in Christ and goes through the waters of baptism, here's what we're doing. We are proclaiming, I cannot save myself, but there is someone greater, superior, and sinless. Remember the words? Who I am placing my faith in. And as we're baptized, it's a picture of us saying, I believe in Jesus. I'm dying to myself with Christ. I've been raised to walk in a brand new life. To God be the glory. Here's a scripture, Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into death? We were buried for with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You ought to recognize those verses, because every time I baptize somebody, I paraphrase them. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in a brand new life. Baptism is a picture of the glory of salvation that is found by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the magnitude of it. It is a significant, important ordinance that God has given to us to obey him and to honor him and bring him glory. But that leads to the interesting questions. What about the method of baptism? How should we be baptized? Who should be baptized? When should we be baptized? All important questions that every single one of us have wondered. Let's see what the Bible has to say. What does the Bible teach us about how we should baptize people? Number one, baptism should occur soon after conversion. Baptism occurs soon after conversion. If you look at every instance in the New Testament of baptism after Jesus' baptism here, if you look at every instance of baptism, what do we see? We see people being baptized after their salvation. Baptism comes after belief. Let me give you a couple of proof texts here. Acts 2, verse 41. Those who received his word were baptized, right? Received the word first, then baptism. Acts 8, 12. When they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Same thing. Hear the word, believe, then baptism. Baptism always follows belief. It's what we call the term that we believe in according to Scripture is believer's baptism. In other words, the only people who are baptized are those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith in Christ for salvation. Just in case you were wondering, that's why we don't baptize infants here at First Baptist. It's not because we don't like babies. We love babies, right? And I love to dedicate children and dedicate families to the Lord. But a baby cannot repent of sin and place faith in Christ. There has to be this moment, an acknowledgement of sin, repentance, and placing faith in Jesus before baptism can come. Now, that said, there's no magic age. There's no Bible verse that says, here's the age of accountability. There's not one. You won't find it. I believe firmly that children can understand the gospel and repent of sin and place their faith in Christ for salvation. And you will see us baptize sometimes children who have made that profession of faith. But before there's baptism, there has to be this moment of belief, a moment of conviction, repentance, and placing one's faith in Christ for salvation. After salvation, don't get them backwards. Speaking of that, some of us may have kind of gotten the order a little mixed up, and maybe you were baptized as a kid and then you didn't come to faith in Christ until later. What do we need to do? Do we need to get baptized again if we were baptized before our salvation? Well, let me answer that question with a question. If baptism is the outward expression of an inward change and you were baptized before your salvation, you're proclaiming a change that never happened, right? So baptism has to follow salvation. Listen to me. If you were baptized before you really came to know Christ as Savior and Lord, you just went swimming in front of a bunch of people. It didn't do anything. There's nothing magic about that pool or any other body of water you choose to be baptized in. What matters the most is that you've placed your faith in Christ, and then baptism follows after that. This is personal to me because this is my story. I was baptized as a kid. I prayed a prayer. I walked an aisle. I met with a preacher, but my life was not changed. I went through my life and lived far apart from honoring God. There was no spirit in me leading me, no conviction of sin. It wasn't until I was a high schooler that I really, truly heard the gospel, repented of sin, and placed my faith in Christ Jesus. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm good. I've already been baptized. I was baptized as a kid. But I learned that my baptism was out of order. I had not been baptized after my salvation. You may remember this, some of you, years ago. I was here as youth minister. And the Lord just stirred my heart, me and Rob Kraft and Jacob, Miss B. Weaver, who was 90-something years old. We all came to realize, hey, we know Jesus, but we weren't baptized after our salvation. And so we went through baptism, not because we have to be baptized again, but because we needed to be baptized for the first time, if that makes sense. Baptism occurs after salvation. But there's something else we need to see here about baptism according to Scripture. Baptism, this one gets people hung up on it. Baptism involves immersion. The word immersion means to be plunged under the water. This is why when we baptize people, we don't sprinkle, we plunge under the water. Why? Because we're Baptists and we've always done it that way, right? Is that the answer? No, it's not the answer. Let me show you why we do it that way. A few reasons here, just you'll see a few things here. First of all, the very word baptism, the definition of the word Greek word for baptize, every time you see it in the New Testament, is the word baptisto. Now, what does that mean? It literally means to dip or to plunge under. The word literally means to be dunked under the water. So if we're going to baptize people, we probably ought to do it by the definition, right? We're going to dunk people under the water. But even more than that, look at the examples of baptism in the Bible. Every time you see someone baptized, there is this picture of being plunged underwater and immersed underwater. We just saw it with Jesus. Matthew 3, as Jesus is baptized, what does it say? He then came up out of the water, meaning he went in the water in the first place. Another example, Acts 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember Philip shares the gospel to this man on the road. He sits in a chariot with him, reads Isaiah. The guy trusts in Jesus. And what does he say? Acts 8, 36, as they're going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. These are just a couple of examples, but every time we see the word, it's a picture of baptism by immersion. The definition of the word, the biblical examples. But here may be the most clear reason why I believe that baptism should be done by immersion, what I think Scripture supports as well. When we're baptized by immersion and plunged under the water, listen to me, it is a picture. It is a picture of the gospel. Think about what Jesus does. Jesus comes, he dies, he's buried, and he's raised. And so when we baptize someone, you hear me quote that. Romans chapter 6, here's another verse, Colossians 2. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, you who raised him from the dead. When you're plunged under that water, it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And no other method of baptism shows that whatsoever. But being plunged under does. So here's the deal. If you've never been baptized by immersion, don't delay, get dunked today. Okay, that's my motto, right? But seriously, baptism by immersion There's nothing salvific about it, okay? That doesn't save you. Christ alone saves, amen? That's the most important thing. But what baptism by immersion is, it is a matter of obedience. It's not that you aren't saved. It's just that I believe God's word clearly shows us that when we place our faith in him, after our salvation, we are then baptized and we're baptized by immersion. What else does this baptism do? Baptism is also a public proclamation. When we're baptized, when someone's baptized, not just here, any occurrence of baptism, it is a public profession of faith. This is why if you call me and say, Pastor, I don't want to be up in front of all those people. Can you come baptize me in my bathtub? I'm going to say no. It's not because I don't love you. It's because I love you too much to see you not do what God calls you to do. The purpose of baptism is to tell others that he is Lord of your life. And again, it doesn't have to be here. It can be in a creek or a river or a lake or whatever else. Wherever else there's a body of water, Acts 8. What matters the most, though, is that people are there to see what you are doing. You're proclaiming faith in Jesus, not ashamed of the gospel, as Paul tells us in 2 Timothy. There's one more thing I want you to understand about baptism this morning as we wrap up. Baptism is a permanent transaction. Baptism is a permanent transaction. I get this question a lot. Well, I've been saved and I was baptized. I just haven't been living for the Lord. And I just feel like I need to be baptized again. Do we need to get baptized again if we have been baptized after our salvation? The answer to that is simply no. And here's why. Look at this verse with me, Galatians 3:27. Some of you may have wondered this. Here's your answer. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In other words, listen, hang with me. I know your outline's done, but listen to me. If you trust in Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, and then you were baptized as a public profession of that faith in Christ, no matter what you do from that moment forward, do you lose your salvation? No. The scriptures are very clear. Nothing can snatch us out of the palm of God's hand if we have a real relationship with Christ. Listen, how many times did Jesus die? How many times did he get buried? How many times did he rise from the dead? Somebody tell me. One. And so if Jesus went through that one time, and our baptism is a picture of that, why do we have to get baptized more than once? We don't. We're trusting in the one-time satisfaction of Christ and our sin by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, does that mean that we don't need to confess sin and repent and recommit? No, all those things are good, but they don't have to be accompanied by another baptism and then another baptism. Because you know what would happen? If we had to get baptized every time that we messed up, guess what? We would have a permanent revolving door at that baptistry. The line would be longer than Walmart. If people who needed to be baptized again. And guess who'd be at the front? I would. We can never be baptized enough to wash away every sin and every imperfection. But guess what? Jesus did it once, and that's sufficient. And so as we trust in him and are baptized as faith in the salvation of Christ, that satisfies the ordinance of baptism. We don't have to do it more than once. Thanks be to God, amen, that his grace is sufficient for us. I hope that maybe this answered some questions that you might have had about baptism, or maybe questions you didn't have about baptism. But here's what I want you to understand. What we do when we baptize people, we're not just doing it because we've always done it. We're not just doing it to satisfy some Baptist requirement or check some box. Here's what we're doing. We're proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. His baptism proclaims that he is the Christ. Our baptism proclaims that we're trusting in him as the Christ and that he has made us new and transformed our life. Both Jesus' baptism and our baptism are, just like the big idea says, a public display of faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Jesus is proclaiming he's the Savior. We're proclaiming Jesus is the Savior. And baptism is the best picture of that. So how do we need to wrap up today? I know that many of you here, you're saved, you've been baptized. I get it. I'm thankful for that. Praise God for that. But listen to me, maybe somebody's here and maybe you haven't been faithful in this. First of all, maybe you're here and maybe you haven't been saved. Maybe you've never repented of your sin and never really trusted in Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord. Listen to me and listen to me very clearly. You can be baptized 1,000 times, but if you've never trusted in Jesus, none of them, it matters not. Okay, that will not save you, nor will any other religious act. The only thing that saves is repenting of sin and placing your faith in Christ. And so maybe today you need to do that. But maybe you've done that, but maybe you haven't been baptized. Maybe you've never been baptized, or maybe you've gotten saved and you were baptized as a child, and maybe you haven't done it in the right order. Is God leading you today to be obedient to Him? Or maybe you haven't been baptized by immersion. Maybe you haven't been following the biblical model for baptism. Maybe if that's you today, is God leading you to take that step and be obedient to what He's called us to do in His Word? Maybe you have questions about that. Come talk to me afterward, or feel free to swing by the office sometime. I'd love to talk with you about what baptism is and how you can be obedient to His call for baptism. But what if you're here today, and what if you know Jesus? What if you've been baptized by immersion after your salvation? What's in this message for you? Not just a review, not just a pat on the back. Do you remember the command of Jesus? Not just go be a disciple and be baptized. What did He say? Go make disciples and baptize. In other words, just because you've been saved and baptized doesn't mean that there aren't people in your life who haven't been yet and that you need to go and reach with the gospel. So who's in your life that you know that you need to tell about Jesus and bring to salvation in Him and introduce them to the change that only He can work in their heart? I don't know what the Lord's calling you to do today, but I know this. He's Lord and there is no other, and we need to place our faith in Him and be obedient in the area of baptism. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, for its clarity. And God, my goal today is not to stand up here and beat anybody over the head or tell anybody that they're wrong. God, my goal is simply to share Scripture. And God, Your word shows us that Jesus was baptized as a picture of Him being the Christ. And God, that we're to be baptized to show that He's Christ over us. So Lord, I just pray very simply, if there's someone here today who needs to trust in Christ, that You would not let them rest until they do. And Father, if there's somebody here who needs to be obedient in the area of baptism, God, don't let them rest until they do. God, not so we can check a box, but God, so that You can get great glory. We love You, Father. Help us to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.